Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the 15-Minute Devotional Program, an online video podcast series for Akron Alliance Fellowship Church in Akron, Ohio, and for listeners to Melvin Gaines' Faith Channel podcast. We appreciate you being here today. My name is Melvin Gaines. Of course, this program, as always, encourages viewers and listeners to get into God's Word and stay in God's Word as we learn and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this particular program, we're going to be covering the daily reading of the two-year Bible reading plan for Wednesday, April the 17th, 2024. Our church, Akron Alliance Fellowship, encourages participation in the two-year Bible reading plan, which allows the reader to cover the entire Bible over a two-year reading period. In our devotional here, which is going to take about 25 minutes or so, our program is going to present the passages for the reading for today, and then make some verbal notes as we go through the content. But when you participate in the two-year Bible reading plan, it normally covers about a 7 to 10 minute period of time of reading the actual scripture itself, followed by an additional 5 to 8 minutes of time in prayer and meditation over what you've read. And that's why this routine, if you add those numbers up, it takes about 15 minutes a day. And that's why we call this program the 15-Minute Devotional. It helps to set the example for you as far as how you read and study scripture each day. We encourage all participants who will get involved in this two-year Bible reading plan to continue to be consistent, stay in the Word day after day as far as reading, studying, and meditating on God's Word. Now, as you get into scripture more and more, your love for the Lord and your love for reading the Bible is going to obviously require more than just 10 to 15 minutes of time per day. But if you're just getting started with this process and learning more about the Lord and reading scripture, a good 15-minute period of time each day being in the Word is a great starting point to establish good habits every day. And if you want downloadable copies of our two-year Bible reading plan, you're welcome to go to our website, akronalliance.org. That's all one word, akronalliance.org. Select the Links tab and then click on the tab that says two-year Bible reading plan. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and now give you the passages we're going to read for today, for Wednesday, April the 17th. We're actually in the book of Job. Job chapter 14, verse 1 through chapter 15, verse 35. So that's two chapters of Job we'll be covering today. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 to 58. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. And Proverbs 13, verses 9 and 10. And just as a reminder, if you're participating in the two-year Bible reading plan, you'll actually cover the Psalms and Proverbs in 1 year and then just flips over every year as you go through it. That's just something to keep in mind, too, as we go through those. You'll learn more about the Proverbs and the Psalms as you go through this process. And it's all fascinating reading, in my opinion, so we'll leave it there. But let's go ahead and get started with our program for today with a word of prayer. Amen. Father, thank you for this time that we want to just quiet ourselves now, Lord, and just hear you speak to us in the power of the Spirit. We thank you for your presence, and we thank you for how you encourage us through your word each and every time we open it up. The message may not always be something that's comfortable, but Lord, we thank you, though, that you basically are giving us information that's helpful for us in living our lives day after day. We thank you, and we give you praise for how much you love us and care for us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everybody, let's turn your Bibles and electronic devices to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14, verse 1, and we're going to read through to 15:35. There's two particular topics here in this particular section of Job. We're at the point here where now Job is having his interaction with his three friends, and I say the word friends, and I'll almost with air quotes, because I know that, let me save the comment for later about that part, but these are supposed to be his friends that he's talking to, and you're going to find that the dialogue is pretty accusatory from the friends as far as where Job is. But Job is making a declaration. You have to understand where Job is right now. Job has suffered great loss. He has suffered this loss, and we know by looking at the passages that he suffered this loss because God allowed it to happen through Satan and the communication. And we have to come to the conclusion as we look at this passage that while Job was a righteous man, about as righteous as any man that we read about in Scripture, and how he truly was as close as you can come to being the perfect person. This might be a future topic for a sermon that I do in either in this month or next month, but he still had to go through a lot of difficulty and struggle. And I believe with all my heart that this is because even though he was such a perfect, we call him a perfect person, and he was without fault, according to God's own words himself in saying so, he still had some things to learn. And I think that really when I look at the lives of people and we look at the nature of how we go through life and we wonder why we go through ups and downs, and I really believe this, the Lord just trying to do a couple of things. Number one, reassure us of his presence, reassure us that he loves us, and also teach us that there's more for us to learn. All three of those things are applicable in any situation, any circumstance, whatever you're going through. And I want to point out something too, that one of the things that is really important, especially when we go through this time of life where we experience more and more people who are suffering loss, like family members. I was at a funeral earlier today, and the most important thing that you can do is support your family and friends of people who are in the right up in the middle of all of that difficulty and struggle, and be kind to them. Be, you know, basically just give them hugs, do whatever you have to do. That's what friends do, and that's how it should be. And I'm just going to share with you now these passages in here. Let's look and see if Job actually had anything like that. So let's read Job chapter 14, verse 1. These are relatively quick reads, so I'm just going to read all of the passages and go through it, and then we'll do the commentary at the end for both of these. Job 14, verse 1, as always, we read from the New Living Translation. How frail is humanity? How short is life? How full of trouble? We blossom like a flower and then wither. Like a passing shadow, we quickly disappear. Must you keep an eye on such a frail creature and demand an accounting from me? Who can bring purity out of an impure person? No one. You have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. So leave us alone and let us rest. We are like hired hands, so let us finish our work in peace. Verse 7. Even a tree has more hope. If it is cut down, it will sprout again and grow new branches. Though its roots have grown old in the earth and its stump decays, at the scent of water, it will bud and sprout again like a new seeding. Verse 10. But when people die, their strength is gone. They breathe their last, and then where are they? As water evaporates from a lake and a river disappears in drought, people are laid to rest and do not rise again. Until the heavens are no more, they will not wake up nor be roused from their sleep. I wish you would hide me in the grave and forget me there until your anger has passed. But mark your calendar to think of me again. Can the dead live again? If so, this would give me hope through all my years of struggle, and I would eagerly await the release of death. You would call and I would answer, and you would yearn for me your handiwork, for then you would guard my steps instead of watching for my sins. Verse 17, my sins would be sealed in a pouch, and you would cover my guilt. But instead, as mountains fall and crumble, as rocks fall from a cliff, as water wears away the stones and floods wash away the soil, so you destroy people's hope. Verse 20, you always overpower them, and they pass from the scene. You disfigure them in death and send them away. They never know if their children grow up in honor or sink to insignificance. They suffer painfully. Their life is full of trouble. Now let's go over to Job chapter 15, verse 1. And this is Eliphaz the Temanite responding. Then Eliphaz the Temanite replied, verse 2, a wise man wouldn't answer with such empty talk. You are nothing but a windbag. Verse 3, the wise don't engage in empty chatter. What good are such words? Have you no fear of God, no reverence for him? Your sins are telling your mouth what to say. Your words are based on clever deception. Your own mouth condemns you, not I. Your own lips testify against you. Were you the first person ever born? Were you born before the hills were made? Were you listening at God's secret counsel? Do you have a monopoly on wisdom? Verse 9. What do you know that we don't? What do you understand that we do not? On our side are aged, gray-haired men, much older than your father. Is God's comfort too little for you? Is his gentle word not enough? What has taken away your reason? What has weakened your vision that you turn against God and say all these evil things? Can any mortal be pure? Can anyone born of a woman be just? Look, God does not even trust the angels. Even the heavens are not absolutely pure in his sight. How much less pure is a corrupt and sinful person with a thirst for wickedness? If you will listen, I will show you. I will answer you from my own experience. Verse 18, and it is confirmed by the reports of wise men who have heard the same thing from their fathers, from those to whom the land was given long before any foreigners arrived. Verse 20, the wicked writhe in pain throughout their lives, yet years of trouble are stored up for the ruthless. The sound of terror rings in their ears, and even on good days they fear the attack of the destroyer. They dare not go out into the darkness for fear they will be murdered. They wander around saying, where can I find bread? They know their day of destruction is near. That dark day terrifies them. They live in distress and anguish like a king prepared for battle. Verse 25, for they shake their fists at God, defying the Almighty. Holding their strong shields, they defiantly charge against him. These wicked people are heavy and prosperous. Their waists will bulge, but their waists bulge with fat, but their cities will be ruined. They will live in abandoned houses that are ready to tumble down. Their riches will not last, and their wealth will not endure. Their possessions will no longer spread across the horizon. They will not escape the darkness. The burning sun will wither their shoots, and the breath of God will destroy them. Let them no longer fool themselves by trusting in empty riches, for emptiness will be their only reward. They will be cut down in the prime of life. Their branches will never again be green. They will be like a vine whose grapes are harvested too early, like an olive tree that loses its blossoms before the fruit can form. For the godless are barren. Their homes, enriched through bribery, will burn. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. Their womb produces deceit. Okay, that's Job chapters 14 and 15, basically. 14:1 verses 15:35. And, you know, briefly we'll talk about what Job was going through in chapter 14. He is referring to the fact that death comes to us all at some point. And you have to understand, he's despondent when he's having this conversation out loud and his three friends are listening, because we assume that that's the only audience that he has here, the three friends. Of course, he's speaking to us too. He's giving us real feelings about how he's feeling, how he's doing, and what he's going through. And remember, he's lost his family. His wife pretty much told him to curse God and die when he broke out with all the boils. And so he's having a rough time. And so what he's looking at, and he's talking to God essentially here in this communication about how you decide the length of our lives. And of course, God absolutely has our days numbered. He knows how long we're going to live. There's a lot of truth that's being said here in this passage, but we recognize that Job's communication are based upon his level of despondency over the fact that he's lost so much and he's going through a great deal of pain and difficulty and struggling. And I think at the end of the day, when we hear people going through a tough time and expressing themselves, it's good to be a great listener, and it's good to be one who still, you know, wants to console a person who's going through loss. Prayerfully, it's never for a long time that they have to go through that tough time and go through those difficult things. But, you know, I chose this. I randomly put this shirt on earlier, and I wasn't really thinking about the message behind it. But when we're talking about being aware of what's coming out of someone's mouth and what they're saying and how they're feeling, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ need to be very sensitive to that and sensitive to what another person is going through, and to make sure that you are close at hand when it comes to emotion, making sure that you're hearing a person out, letting them express themselves. They're going through a grieving process. Be sensitive to that. And it's very timely that, you know, we're going to have this now look at chapter 15 and look at what Eliphaz had to say about what was going on here. And Eliphaz does everything, while he's speaking truth in many ways as far as other people and situations, he's not speaking anything that's helpful for Job whatsoever. And he's speaking without knowledge of Job's situation or condition. And he's speaking without knowledge about this whole thing about why is someone being punished? Well, you must have done something wrong. There must have been sin in your life that you are not dealing with. That's not your concern as a human being to say something like that. And you're seeing someone who's suffering and going through it. And we look at chapter 15 and we look at what verse 2, a wise man wouldn't answer with such empty talk. You are nothing but a windbag. Well, that's some kind of friend, isn't it? See, this is the thing about friends. I'm going to just talk about myself very briefly here. I had some friends when I was younger. I didn't have a lot of friends. I sometimes called certain people who maybe thought they were friends acquaintances, because yes, we would hang around each other, but there wouldn't be friendship-like dialogue within that interaction, or wouldn't go any further than just the encounter itself. And I think sometimes maybe I did that. I use that term acquaintances maybe just to protect my own emotions or feelings about things as time went along. You know a good friend when you see it. You know, my wife, my lovely bride, is my best friend. And she is sensitive to what I'm feeling or doing and would never call me a windbag. She might call me other things, but she wouldn't call me a windbag. She certainly, because sometimes I can be kind of nutty and crazy. But at the end of the day, you try to be sensitive and complimentary to other people. You don't tell someone who's suffered loss like that that they are, you don't talk to them about what their relationship with the Lord is. Don't talk to them about how they're engaging in mindless chatter. It's totally inappropriate and unnecessary. And I think that we've learned a lot about the three friends of Job, if you want to call them friends, because they're not real friends. If you're criticizing someone and you don't really understand what's going on in the other person's life. And the reason why I say don't criticize, don't come down on somebody. Look, guys, you deal with people who go through things all the time. And when we talk about suicide rates going up, we're not exaggerating. They have gone up since the days of COVID. And there are a lot of people who are having trouble coping with a lot of very, very ordinary things in life that many people would think about. And you have to be sensitive. You're going to have to pay attention. And for those people who are struggling, you need to reach out and talk to other people. Don't keep it to yourself. That's the whole point of making sure that we're understanding where Job is when we read chapter 14, and understanding in Job chapter 15 and not to do what Eliphaz did, because that was inappropriate. You just don't keep talking about that. Eliphaz is supposed to be a spiritual person too, according to the notes I read about this in the comment. He's supposed to be the one that has dreams and visions and a spiritualist. But boy, he really sucks at being a comforter. Right? So I think that's where we have to leave that. And, you know, this is a balance. There's always a balance that believers have to come down to, where we're not talking about correcting somebody for what we perceive as sin. That's not what's going on here. That shouldn't be what's going on here. If you don't understand, you keep your mouth shut about something like that, and you just keep moving forward and just be a presence for a person if they really need to talk to you or hear, or they need to hear you, you know, speak up, be a voice about something. Be prepared to listen. Be prepared to pray about how to respond. If the Spirit tells you to say something, fine. But if he doesn't, just leave it alone. Keep it there. Amen? Job is a very fascinating chapter to read. And the more I look at Job and the more I read it, the more I learn from it, from all the parties involved here as well, too, the people involved. We only have the one encounter from earlier about Job's wife. And we don't have any result as to knowing what happened with Job's wife, other than the fact that Job was able to have a family again, and we do know that much about it, but we don't have any other information about her specifically. Suffice it to say that she was pretty despondent herself as well, too, and didn't really quite know what to say. Maybe her relationship with the Lord was certainly not that of Job's. And I think that we need to come back and say, no matter how much you think somebody has something really going together and having a great situation going on, don't assume that everything is great with them. Live in such a manner where you're honoring the Lord first, serving him and being sensitive to what the Spirit says. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to read verses 45 through 58. In this particular section of scripture, we're going to have a conversation about the resurrection, and we're going to have conversation about what the role is that Christ has in all of this as well, too, and how Christ came. This is what Paul is speaking about here in this particular passage. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 through 58. Pretty important part of scripture here. So let's go through the reading. Verse 45. The scriptures tell us, the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Verse 47, Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. And just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. Verse 50. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Verse 56. For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Amen and amen. That is the passage, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 through 58. So what's happening here in this passage when Paul is speaking? He's referring to Adam. Adam was the physical body. He was created out of the dust as a physical body. There is a big difference here, obviously, between how he was created and how Christ has a spiritual connection with us, because he indeed was created through the infusion of the Holy Spirit into Mother Mary. And his conception was such that he indeed was conceived in a holy manner, and that's the difference. It's a spiritual, Christ is a spiritual being. And what he's saying here in verse 46, what Paul is saying, what comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. And Jesus Christ made himself, came into this earth in a physical body, but he would be going to the Lord with a spiritual body. And in the same manner that he lived, as we are living, we will do the same thing. We will eventually inherit these new spiritual bodies. These bodies will last forever. And that's where the transformation is referred to in the passage in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 on. We're going to be raised forever and live forever in Christ because of our relationship in Christ. Here's an interesting thing, too. We talk about people who died without the Lord and their bodies are going to be buried and all that, but they still have a soul, and they still have and there will be an eventual reuniting with their bodies as well, too. But that's when we're going to be seeing the Lord in judgment. We're going to be seeing him at the Bema seat for those of us who are believers, and the great white throne judgment for who aren't. What an interesting topic and subject this is too. But we want to recognize, though, that we have overcome death because of what Christ did for us on the cross. We don't have to worry about or experience anything other than being reunited with our Lord and Savior because of our relationship with Jesus. So we still want to make sure that we are speaking to people while they're here in the present physical realm, the importance of acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord. You can't go and do it after the fact. There's no backseas. There's no going back, well, I forgot to do this while I was still alive. No, that's not going to take place. You do it while you have the opportunity, while you're here. And when we emphasize the importance of time being short, time is short for all of us, because all of us are not going to live in our physical bodies forever. We are going to live here for a certain period of time, and we're going to pass on. Look, we see this all the time now. We're seeing it more and more as we get older. We're seeing people around us who have family members who are passing on. And, you know, funerals are a great place to make a testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ and talk about the gospel, because, you know, we have a before and after situation, don't we? We have a physical body. We're going into a spiritual realm when we leave here. But we want to make sure that we're assuring ourselves that in being part of that change into the spiritual, that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what we need to focus on. Pray for your brothers and sisters. When I brothers and sisters, I mean friends, family, people that you know who do not know Jesus Christ. Let's go to Psalm 40, verse 1. Psalm 40, verse 1. This is a messianic psalm that David is the author of. He is the author of many messianic psalms, but he's going to make a comment here. We're just covering the first three verses and recognizing this. And a lot of this is a follow-up to Psalm 39, if you read that from before. Psalm 39 had a lot to do with the feelings that David was expressing when he was fleeing from his son Absalom, who was out to get him. And we have a lot of expression like that coming from David. But now we're referring to the coming of Christ. Verse 1, Psalm 40, for the choir director, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. Verse 2, he lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground, and he steadied me as I walked along. Verse 3, he has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Now, this statement that David is making here, he's referring to essentially mirroring what Christ went through for us. And we recognize that Jesus is indeed Lord and Savior. Let's see here. I don't know why my light went out. We'll just keep moving. But recognize that in verse 2, he's referring to about Jesus when he was in despair, when he was going through difficulty. And we recognize too that he is now relying upon, Jesus is relying upon the Lord to indeed honor him and glorify him by going to the cross. So that's essentially what David was referring to here in these first three passages. And Jesus went through this pit, through agony for us, and went to death on the cross for us to pay for our sin. And of course, he was resurrected. And that is for that reason, because he was resurrected, the very thing we just read about in 1 Corinthians about death being overcome by Jesus Christ, it was because of the reason of him doing so. So important for us to see that. Amen. All right, one more passage. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verses 9 and 10. Proverbs 13, verse 9. The life of the godly is full of light and joy, but the light of the wicked will be snuffed out. Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. And don't we just need more wisdom? Amen. It's just important for us to continue to rely upon godly wisdom as we go through life, as we go through situations of life. And we want to make sure that recognizing in verse 10, it talks about pride leading to conflict. Pride is the very thing that causes people to sin. And so those who are humble, whether you're by yourself or in a group, you are going to be open to receiving God's wisdom no matter what. That's essentially what we want to remember here. That's what we want to always keep in mind. So it's important for us to recognize that pridefulness does lead to conflict. It leads to quarrels. It leads to fights. It leads to differences of opinion. It's when we humble ourselves is that when we are able to be open to God's wisdom. And I love what it says in verse 9, the life of the godly is full of light and joy, but the light of the wicked will be snuffed out. There's an end coming for those who choose to not follow the Lord, not follow Jesus Christ. So Proverbs always gives us these different statements here about good and evil and what we have to do to reckon with those things and making sure that we're always erring to the side of caution, that we're always being obedient to the Lord and listening to what the Lord has to say. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you've given to us to sit quietly and hear you speak to us. We thank you for your presence today. Lord, bless this time that we have, that you'll continue to speak to us through your word, that we have the desire to hear you speak to us through your word. And we thank you for your presence. Bless us and keep us, Lord, and we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We appreciate you being here for today's 15-minute devotional. Thanks so much for being here again today. God bless you. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you around the corner, and we'll see you next time.